John chapter 5, we'll read verse 1 through 9. If you could stand. John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, the Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For the angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Verse 6, and when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Look at verse 7. Look at the man's response. He said, Sir, I have no man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray that you bless this the next few moments as we just dive down into this passage, Lord, as we look at you as a great example of what you did for this man, Lord. I pray that you challenge our hearts, convict our hearts, help us to be better men for you, Lord. Help us to be a better witness for you. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to decrease and you to increase, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, We all probably heard this story before. We've all been familiar with passages like this, but I just want to talk or preach a few moments this morning on the idea of this. I had no man until Jesus came by. I had no man until Jesus came by. See, Jesus is the difference maker. Right. Jesus is what the world needs. This world needs Jesus. And today I was kind of thinking about the past few days, what I would preach about, or what would the subject be, or what passage I'd be in. I just thought about, let me preach about Jesus. Jesus is what this world needs. Jesus is what we need. See, right. We learn about Jesus in the Bible, and Jesus came, and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In John chapter 3, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right. We know in this passage that Jesus does a great miracle, and we know of all the different miracles Jesus has done. I begin to think about Jesus and his power. Jesus spoke to this man and he was healed. And we go throughout the Bible and Jesus didn't just have one technique of healing. Jesus could do anything he wanted. Someone just touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. And Jesus just spoke and a person was healed. And in chapter 4, the nobleman came up to him and said, my son is dying. And what happened? He said, Go, thy son is healed. He didn't even have to be there. Jesus is all powerful. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And John talks about these different things, but you get to this passage this morning, and we see a man who said, basically, he had no one to help him. He had no one. He said, I had no man. I had no man. So I just want to do a few moments of introduction, and I have six thoughts about Jesus this morning from this passage. All right, first thing you'll see is the scene in the introduction, the scene of verse 1 through 4. We'll begin to look at this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There was a feast. Jesus leaves Galilee and goes to Jerusalem for the feast. And there were several big feasts that the children of Israel would follow, and we don't know which one it was, but Jesus came and to one of these feasts. And in verse 2, we see that now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew the tongue Bethesda, having five porches. There was a pool, Bethesda, which meant house of mercy. Five porches would mean it was a very large pool. It was a very large area. A lot of people could gather in this area. We learned in verse 3, in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk. A great multitude of sick people. The word impotent would be diseased or weak people. We see there was blind people there. Halt would have been lame. People that were crippled. There was withered. People with their hands withered or legs, whatever it might be. These people were sick people. These people had no hope. These people, the doctor system back in the day wasn't a good place for them to go get help. There wasn't a lot of things they could do to get help.
Right.
And they heard about this water, that if they could just get into the water, possibly they could be healed.
Yeah.
And these people would come, a great multitude of people looking for hope. These people would have probably been outcast. These people would have probably been thrown out of their family. These people probably had no one that cared about them, and their only hope in life to maybe move forward or to have a nice life, or maybe if they could just get in this water, maybe they could be healed. A great multitude, as you begin to think about what this place looked like, think of the five porches, think about the water being there, and think about a great multitude of sick people being there. Oftentimes, you begin to think about how the people of leprosy, they were outcasts, thrown out. Maybe people of leprosy were there. Maybe people with some type of skin disease, or maybe people with something in infirmity of their body, and maybe no one would want to look at them. Maybe no one would want to smell that area. Maybe no one would want to walk down that area because, hey, no one wants to see that. No one wants to see these people. No one wants to be around these people. They're sick. They're diseased. They're the outcasts. And no one would probably want to go there. Think of the smell of these people as they have no one to help them maybe bathe. Think of the what this area might have looked like. Five porches of diseased people, of people that were blind, of people that were whole, withered. And verse 4 says, "For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." See, there was a belief that, hey, the angel would stir the water. If they could get into the water, the first person there would be healed. The only hope, the doctors couldn't heal them. Their families couldn't heal them. The only hope they had to ever have a normal life was if they could get into the water first. You see the great multitude there just hoping and hoping that the water would be stirred. We see the scene of where we're at. You see all the people, the people hurting, the people begging, the people there, and just hoping that the water would be stirred. Then we see the situation here in verse 5. "And a certain man was there that had an infirmity, 38 years. A certain man, we don't know his name, we don't know much about him, we know he has an infirmity. We know he has some type of sickness, some type of maybe disformity, that where he can't walk. For 38 years, this man has been in this spot. For 38 years, this man has been hoping that the water would be stirred and he would be the first one in. For 38 years, this man had been trying. For 38 years, this man had been hoping. For 38 years, this man had been looking for help. He was helpless. He had no one with him. His family didn't come with him to maybe take him into the water. No one was there. He didn't quit. He kept hoping that one day he could get into the water first. And year went by. Another year went by. Years, decades and decades went by. In 38 years, this man was still hoping that one day maybe he could get into the water.
Yeah.
Maybe one day he could be healed. We see there's a certain man.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know his name, but we know he'd been there for 38 years. We know that he had some form of that where he couldn't walk. And he was just hoping that he could be the one day that could get into the water.
Mm.
Great multitudes are there. They all fight him and they'd all try to get into the water first. We see the situation. Verse 6. "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Today we'll see several things about Jesus in this passage, and we're going to come back to it. We're going to finish just this passage. But Jesus comes there. He sees this man lying, and Jesus comes up to this man and says, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? And he says this to this man, and this man's probably thinking, why would I be here if I didn't want to be healed? He said, I want to be healed. I want to go into the water. We see his response. Then Pope Man in verse 7 answered him, saying, "Sir, I have no man. Sir, I can't get there on my own. Sir, I've been trying for 38 years to just get into the water, but someone would get in front of me every time. And maybe I'd plan out and have this strategy, and nothing ever works. Someone else would get there. I had no man to ever get there. I have no hope. I have no family. I have no friends. I have nothing in my own. I have no man," this man says. "When the water was troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another person steppeth down before me." See, hope deferred, making the heart sick. This man would have hope every time the water would be stirred. And he'd be maybe a few steps away. Maybe he'd be close and someone else would get there before he ever could. This man had no hope. This man had no one that cared for him. But verse 8, we see the Savior. The Savior in verse 8, and Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus sees this man and says, you have no man. You have no one that cares for you. Arise, take up your bed and walk. And this man probably began to think, what is this man saying? Who is this man? This man doesn't really know who Jesus is. And the Bible says in verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. This man, it said immediately, when Jesus does something, when Jesus does a healing, he didn't need a physical therapist to kind of walk him through the recovery phase. He didn't need something to help him as he was standing up. It said, immediately this man was made whole. Jesus is so powerful, he can change anybody. Jesus is so powerful, he could heal anybody. Right. This man got physical healing in his life. Something for 38 years, he'd been just trying to get into the water. People are there trying to get healed. And this man had no man until Jesus came by and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And there was something about this man Jesus that was different. This man Jesus stopped and cared for this man. This man Jesus found this man and said, hey, I want to do something for you. How about this? You rise, you take up your bed and walk. The idea of rise, he would stand up for the first time. I believe that, hey, all of a sudden his legs began to have some strength and he was confused and he said, what is this? And immediately he stepped forth and stepped up, and you know what? He said, arise and take up your bed. He would take up his mat. That would show that he had some strength in his legs, that it wasn't just something that was happening in the moment. And he would walk. He would do something that he couldn't do for 38 years of his life. For 38 years, he couldn't walk. And he didn't miss a beat. He got up and began to walk. You know why? Because Jesus can change people. Jesus can fix the problems of this world. These people were waiting for the water. And Jesus came by and said, hey, you're looking to the water, but I have something greater. It's me. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior. I'm the one that can make a difference in your life. Rise, take up your bed and walk, man. Walk, get up and walk. And this man got up and he began to walk. A great miracle.
Yeah.
A great miracle in the Bible. And that's kind of where we're going to focus at today. But what happens was this man began to walk, and it was the Sabbath. He broke one of the rules. He began to walk and took up his bed. And some of the leaders there began to question him, saying, why are you doing this? And we're not really going to focus on this part of this passage. And everybody said, who did this to you? And he says, I'm not really sure. And then Jesus finds him and tells him, talks to him. And we'll get to that in a few moments. And the Jews here are angry at Jesus, and they begin to persecute him. Mm-hmm. They begin to hate Jesus. But I want to focus today. I had no man until Jesus came by.
Amen.
Look in verse number 6. We're going to see several things about Jesus. See, Jesus went where others wanted. The very first thing I want you to see. Jesus went where others wanted. He said, Jesus went to this great multitude of this great multitude where it might have smelled, where it might not have been clean, where the outcasts of society were, where the withered were, where the lame were, where the uncool people were, where the not the popular people were, where the people that smelled, where the people that had no money. He went there. See, a lot of people would say, I don't think I would go in that area. Hey, Jesus, it's not very clean over there. You probably don't want to go hang out over there. Hey, Jesus, there's better routes we could go to get where we're going. But Jesus didn't care about where he was going, because he came that people would get saved, that people's lives would be changed, that he could touch someone's heart. You know why? Because Jesus had a burden. His burden was to seek and to save that which was lost, and his burden led to compassion today. If you want compassion in your heart, where is your burden? Where is your burden? When you have a burden, it leads to compassion. And Jesus went where others wouldn't. He went to the outcast. He went to the down and out. He went to the people without hope. He went to the helpless. People might say, well, Jesus, if you're building a ministry, if you're trying to grow this and that, maybe you should go to the rich. Maybe you should go to these people that have more talents. But Jesus went to the down and out. You know why? Because he wanted to show his power. Because he doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care your ethnicity. He doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care your talents or what you might have. He came to save anyone he could. And he went down to this man. He went down where others wanted. He went to the place Jesus went where others wanted. Then we see Jesus looked where others wanted. Jesus looked where others wanted. We see when Jesus saw him
lie.
This man was on the ground, and I think a lot of people would walk by that area and they wouldn't even look at those people. They wouldn't even give attention to those people. Look at that man with the deformity. I don't want to put my eyes on that. I don't want to see that man with that skin disease. I don't want to look at that man or look at those people with the deformities. I don't even want to see those things. But Jesus has said when he saw this man lie, he wasn't afraid to look at this man. He wasn't afraid to look down and see this man who had been painful. He'd have been lame. He would have been able to walk, and who knows? He might have smelled. He might have had all these different things. He might not have been clean. He might have these long beards, and maybe they look like a crazy person because he had no one to help him. And there's people all around him. And while no one paid attention to this man, no one would look at this man. He said, "I have no man." Jesus said, he looked down and saw him. He saw this man lying. Jesus looked where others wanted, where a lot of people would have walked by this man and turned their face. A lot of people would have walked down and saw this and said, "I don't want to see that." And how many times do we do that in this world? We see someone maybe that doesn't have a lot. We see someone that has nothing. We see someone that maybe is not as cool as we are, or not as popular as we are, or doesn't have as much money as we are. And you know what we do? We turn our face aside. We don't want to look at that person that's struggling. We don't want to go into that person's house because of their pain, because of the things that are gone in their house. And we turn our face aside. Jesus saw him. He wasn't afraid to look down with him. He wasn't afraid to look. Jesus looked where others wanted. Jesus paid attention to who others wanted. Jesus paid attention to who others wanted. It says this, "And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case," he knew. He paid attention to this man. He knew that this man had been there for a long time. See, a lot of people didn't care. Maybe some other people would walk by. This man had been there for 38 years. And every week, maybe he would say, "Would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me?" And these people didn't care to pay attention to this man. But Jesus knew this man's story. Jesus knew how long this man had been there. He knew this man had been there for a long time. And I think a lot of people there were running to get healed. A lot of people had hoped to be healed. But this man might have been there maybe the longest. This man might have been there for a long time, more than anybody else. But no one helped this man, but Jesus paid attention to this man.
Right.
Jesus paid attention to who others wanted. He knew. Fourthly, we see Jesus talked to others wanted. He talked to this man to who other people would not talk to.
Right.
It says, "Hey," and Jesus saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Wilt thou be made whole? Looks at this man and says, "Hey, don't you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed?" No one would ever stop and talk to this man. This man said he had no man that cared for him. No man cared for this man's soul. I think of in Psalm, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no one cared for my soul." Yeah. This man had no one in life. And today, maybe we have some parents, maybe you have some family members that care about you, some friends. And this man had no one. And here comes Jesus. There's something about Jesus. Jesus looked down on this man. Jesus walked by this man. Jesus paid attention to this man. And Jesus spoke to this man because Jesus knew this man had a soul. Jesus knew that this man, he'd been here for a long time. And Jesus wanted to change this man's life. He didn't care where he came from. He didn't care about his past. He didn't care about his deformity. He went up to this man and said, "Hey, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be changed?" Jesus talked to someone that no one else would talk to. And we see Jesus help the man who others wouldn't help.
Yep.
This man had been for 38 years saying, "Would someone help me? Would someone, hey, would you help me? Maybe the next time the water, I'll give you money when I get healed. I'll help you out. But would you help me? I'll work for you maybe if you just help me." Whatever it might be, he began to beg and beg and ask people, "Would someone help me? No one's going to help me." And he began to cry out for 38 years, "Would someone please just get me into the water?" And maybe sometimes he'd get close. Maybe sometimes he wouldn't even be close. But this man said, "Would someone please help me?" And there's no one that stopped for 38 years to help this man. And maybe someone did try to help him, but it only lasted for a few moments and he never got healed. And for 38 years, this man crying, saying, "Would someone help me?" And here comes Jesus, and Jesus says, "Hey, no one has helped you, but I'm different. I saw you. I know about your situation. I care about your deformity. I want to change you. I want to help you. Let me be the one. Do you want to be healed?" I'm going to ask you this one. Do you want to be healed? The man says, "Yes." You know know why he asked? Do you want to be healed? Because he's pointing his attention to his need to be healed. Today, in our lives, if you want to be healed of your problem, you want to be healed of that sin that's in your life, you need to realize that you need to be healed. Right. Jesus says, hey, do you want to be healed? That man then realized, I do need to be healed. I can't walk. He points his attention to his need, and Jesus says, I'm the one that can help you. Why don't you rise, take up your bed, and walk? And this man probably thought for a second, I don't understand what is happening, but I feel like something's different. There's something different in my body. I feel like I got some strength in my legs. I'm going to take my step up. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to stand up. And he began to stand, and he's probably shaking because he's probably so nervous of what's happening. And he began to walk. He reached down and picks up his bed, and he begins to walk down the road. And he probably begins to think in his mind, what just happened? My life has been changed. For 38 years, I had no man. And then some man came by, and he said, why don't you step up? Why don't you walk out with your bed and go down the road? And his life was changed forever. He had no man until Jesus came by.
Amen.
Jesus helped the man that others wanted. He was healed. But then look, Jesus cared for the person who others wanted. No one cared about this man for 38 years. His family left him. No friends came for him. All by himself for 38 years, just begging, hoping that someone would get him into the water. For 38 years. But look who's the one that comes back for him. In verse 14, this man walked away. The Jews already started talking to this man. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, amongst all the people, amongst all the great multitude, amongst all the people there, Jesus goes back and finds this man. This man didn't even really know what happened. He was just healed. Yeah. He didn't really know who Jesus was. He just knows somebody said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he was walking, and a great miracle just happened. He's shocked. All these things are happening. And now he's in the crowd, and here comes Jesus. Jesus went out of his way to find him. You know why? Because Jesus cared for him. Yeah. Jesus didn't just say, I'll do a miracle in your life, and I'm going to let you be. But no, Jesus did a miracle in his life, and he said, I'm going to come back to you. I want to tell you something. And he began to talk. And in the Bible, and not everything that Jesus did is recorded. I don't know what all the conversation was. Maybe there was a longer conversation. Maybe there wasn't. But Jesus began to talk to this man. And he says, behold, thou art made whole. You're made whole of your disease. It's been a few moments now. It wasn't just a quick moment of healing. No, you're whole. You're set free of your plague, the disease of your life. You're free to go. You're made whole. And behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest worst thing come unto thee. See, there's a worse thing than having a disease for 38 years. There's a worse thing for being sick for 38 years. There's a worse thing of being lame for 38 years. That's living a life of sin. Yeah. Going out in the world and living a life. Don't waste your life on that. Don't live your life in the sin of this world. That would be worse than living another 38 years with your legs not being able to work. And Jesus cared for this man, and he went back and found him.
Uh-huh.
He went back and found him. I don't know what goes through this man's mind. I don't know what happened to this man. This man had a great miracle. I don't know what he's thinking. But we do know in verse 15, it says, the man departed and told the Jews. He went and turned Jesus in. I don't know what was going through this man's mind. Maybe the religious pressure of that time. Maybe he didn't want to get in trouble because he broke some of the laws of the Sabbath. But he went back and turned Jesus in and said, Jesus is the one. I don't know what went through his mind, but I do know this. He had no man until Jesus came by.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all of us today. I had no man until Jesus came by. No one could save my soul. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin started with Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God, and sin was passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Sin nature was passed down. But the thing is, we've all chosen sin in our life. We all deserve to die. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die in our place. We have no man. We have to pay the punishment. Just like that man for 38 years. He had no man that we could heal. We had no man that could heal us of our sin virus.
Yeah.
We had no man that could heal us of our sin. And the Bible says because of that, we deserve to die. We're guilty. We're on our way to be judged. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment, we all had an appointment with God.
Yeah.
I don't know when your appointment is. I don't know when mine is. But one day we stand before God. And as a man that had no man, I was on my way to stand before that judge guilty of a crime that I couldn't get myself out of. It was called sin. And all of us have that sin And we have no man that can save us. We can't save ourselves. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. And what happened? But God so loved the world. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. We had no man until Jesus came by. We had no one that cared for us until Jesus came by. It didn't matter what family you were in. It didn't matter how bad a sinner you are. We couldn't get out of our sin. You might say, oh, I was a pretty good person. Your good work could never save us. We had no man. We would deserve to die in our place. And Jesus came by and saved us. The Bible says on Him was put the iniquity of us all. And on that cross He was dying. He wasn't dying for Himself. He was dying for me. He was dying for you. Yes. They spit upon Him. Yes. They mocked Him. They put the nails into His hands and into His feet. You know why He was doing it? Because we had no man. But Jesus said, let me come by for you today. Yes. Let me do something for you today. Yes. Just like that man. He had no hope. He was helpless. He had no one that cared for him. In our spiritual lives, we had no one that cared for us. No one. The devil destroyed us. The devil brought us into bondage. We were children of the devil. We were enemies of God. We were alienated. But Jesus came, and on that cross, He died and shed His blood. And whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And the Bible talks about how He delivers us from the power of darkness. He reconciles us. He restores our relationship with God. And He adopts us into His family. And you might say, I had no family on this earth. Sin destroyed my family. All these different things had happened. But by the grace of God, we might not have had a family. We had no man that cared for us. But Jesus came by. He said, let me adopt you into my family. Let me bring you into my family. Let me justify you. Let me sanctify you. Let me grow you that I could use you today. Yes. We had no man until Jesus came by.
Yes, sir.
But today, we learned about Jesus. Jesus went where others wanted. Would you go? Mm-hmm. Would you go to that great multitude that are sick people?
It's good.
Or would you think I'm too good to go that way? Jesus looked where others wanted, where everyone's turning their eyes to today, because that person, maybe on that bus route, no one likes that kid. No one cares about that person. That one smells. That man, you go into that house, that's a dirty house. I don't want to go in that house. Jesus looked where others wanted. He didn't care what that man looked like. He didn't care what that man had gone through. He said, I'm going to look down and I see that man. Jesus paid attention to what others wanted. Hey, no one paid attention to this man. He was just another beggar. He was just another sick man. He was just in the midst of the great multitude of sick people at that place. But He paid attention to that man. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we only pay attention to the people that will help us go forward. Mm-hmm. We'll only pay attention to people if people see us. We'll only pay attention to people if pastor's watching. We'll only pay attention to people maybe that will see so they can help us get a promotion. Mm-hmm. Jesus went there and paid attention to someone that wasn't going to give Him anything. Someone that turned Him in later. He paid attention to that man. Mm-hmm. Jesus talked to the person others wanted. He spent His time to talk to this man. Jesus helped the man that others wanted. Jesus was the man that man was looking for. He said, no man cared for me. But Jesus said, I'll be that man. Uh-huh. Jesus cared for the person. He went back and found him. He said, hey. He talked to him. He said, don't go living in sin. That'll be worse than living 38 years and being lame.
Right.
Jesus cared. And as I began to think about the great miracle that just took place, I think of this. A great multitude that was there that was sick. One got healed. I would have think everyone in that building would have ran to Jesus.
Yeah.
But you know what they had their eyes on? They had their eyes on the water.
Right.
They weren't looking for the person of Christ. Mm-hmm. Today, maybe you're looking for God to fix something in your life and you're looking for something that man could do. Oh, maybe I could do it that way. Maybe I turn to Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is the one. That's the whole Bible. Jesus is the answer today. Jesus is the solution today. You might say, I can't get out of this sin for some reason. I feel bondage by it. I can't. Jesus is the answer. Turn to Jesus. All these people, no one noticed this man get up and walk. This man was there for 38 years. You think someone would have been watching him. You think someone would have noticed that this man got up and walked. But they had their eyes on the water, hoping that something would be stirred over there. They didn't turn their eyes to Christ. Jesus is the answer today. You have no man. None of us would have any man until Jesus came by. Has Jesus changed your life? I'm not just talking, oh yeah, I prayed a prayer. No, I'm talking, has He changed your life?
Go ahead.
That's what
Good.
Salvation is. Anyone can pray and say, well, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. So yeah. No, I'm talking about, has He changed your life?
Yeah.
That's salvation. When you call upon Him, not just calling upon Him, it's a call of faith upon Him. A call of salvation. A call saying, Lord, I have no man. Lord, I'm going to hell. Lord, I'm a sinner. I have no man that can save me. But I heard about Your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to call upon Him to save me. I want Him to be my Savior. I turn my faith to Him. Lord, I have no man until I heard about Your Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus changes people. And in this man would say, I had no man until Jesus came by. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank You for this afternoon or this morning. Lord, a simple message just about You, Lord. Lord, You cared for this person that no one else cared for. You helped the person that no one else helped. You looked at the person that no one else wanted to look at. Lord, You spent Your time with someone that other people wouldn't spend their time with. Lord, You showed great compassion. Lord, help us to have that compassion. Help us to be someone that would look at the down and outs. Help us to be the one that's just like You, that points people to Christ. Lord, a lot of people in this world, they have no man. No one cares for them. No one's going to help them. They've never even heard about the gospel, Lord. And I can't be the man, but I can point to the man that can change their life. Lord, help me to be that person that points to You. Lord, because we all had no man until You came by. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for changing our lives. Just like You changed this man's life, You changed ours. Help us to point people to You. So when they say, I had no man, they could say, until Jesus came by. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.